I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. Everybody here okay? If I got this turned up enough? Good to see everybody. Got a lot of people from out of town. A lot of our people are out of town. Cold day today. Going to get colder, I hear. It's good. It's heartwarming to have everybody here this morning. We usually, this time of the year, sort of do a review of what happened in the past year and a projection of what we want to try to accomplish in the new year. Good to look back at those things. And I think that that has to be, when you look at the health of the congregation, it has to be in the context of what our purpose is here. What are we trying to achieve? And then what are the ways we try to achieve that purpose? I want to talk about that just for a minute. And there's a lot of verses we could look at. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shines unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I would suggest to you that individually and collectively, it is our duty to shine a bright light within the world. That's what we're about here as a congregation and as individuals when we leave this place. We do that to honor God. That's what the verse says. So the question is, you know, how do we provide a light to the world, and how is Parkway involved in that? What are the activities we're doing here? What have we done in 2017? What do we project that we're going to do in 2018? Whatever we do when we come together, we've just taken care of the Lord's Supper, we have to keep this in mind. Everything that we do in this assembly is somehow pointed towards that overall goal that we have, being lights in the world. Every single activity it is. And has to be interpreted by that mission, being the light of the world. When we take the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? We're remembering Jesus Christ. He said, take this bread, it's my body, eat it. Take this cup, it's my blood, drink it. We have an obligation to be transformed, Romans chapter 12, by the renewing of our minds into the image of Jesus Christ. It's His light that shines in the world as we incorporate Jesus into our lives, right? And so the Lord's Supper is involved in being a light into the world. When we sing, Colossians 3:16, we are teaching, educating ourselves, educating each other, and admonishing, correcting as needs be done. And we're singing as if unto the Lord. So singing is involved in being a bright light. When we pray in a service like this, we're praying not selfish prayers. We're not like kids asking Santa Claus for a list of things that we need. We're praying unselfish prayers as servants of God. And we're in those prayers, we're building our relationship with God. It's a testimony of our faith in Luke chapter 18 that when we pray, it is evidence that we have faith. It's a token of our faith. When we give an offering, just like we've done in 2 Corinthians, we see that God loves a cheerful giver. It's a sacrifice. What it's stating, practically unstated, is that we don't love money. That's a sin, right? So we're willing to give up our money for God's purpose, and to do the things that we do in this service. We have teaching, and obviously that's to understand God's Word, and first of all, to understand who God is and that's very important, but understand what God's expectations are of us. So whether we're teaching from the pulpit or the classrooms or however we're teaching, it is helping to make us brighter lights to illuminate the world. When we look at the church and how it's constructed, the church has elders. What are the function of elders? Well, elders serve to help people become full-grown Christians. Arguably, the elders are some of the most fully mature Christians in a congregation. They know the path to becoming the transformation process that becomes where we can become the image of Jesus Christ. And so elders in a congregation are admonishing, they're teaching, they are setting the example for members in the congregation. Our mission is not primarily the Lord's Supper, it's not primarily to come and sing, it's not offering, it's not anything else but to be, provide a bright light in the world to honor God. All these activities help us to do that, but they're not the primary reason why we come together. So then the question is that we should be asking ourselves, well, how are we doing? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How's Parkway doing in helping transform our members into bright, shining lights in the world, both individually and collectively? A lot of metrics that we could look at. And we'll look at them. I got the latest version of the directory out and counted how many members we have here. That's a metric, right? The directory says we have 188 members here. My guess is looking around here, we've probably got about 110, 120. And ordinarily, it's between 130 and 140. So that means there's not a lot, not everybody's here all at one time. Well, people travel. In that directory, some of it includes some widows and people who are homebound and can't get out. It also includes a few cherished members, widows that have had to move to other places because of their health. Polly Miller, she's in our directory. She needs to be there. And Lois Gillum is in that directory also. But by and large, we have about 188 members here. That does not include the people who are in regular attendance here who are not members. We have college students. We have some families here who have never placed membership. So we've got a good, healthy amount of members here. When you look at that in the light of how other congregations are doing, you know, in the past several years, we've seen Air Street Church have to close their doors. Recently, Norton Street had to do that. And I know of other congregations are just sort of treading water. But here's something good about Parkway. Somehow, our light is shining bright enough that people are attracted to come here, and our membership is increasing. Another metric we could look at is how much money's in the bank account. How much are you contributing? We're not going to talk about numbers this morning, but we've had a lot of upgrades in the building this year, spent a lot of money, but we've still got, y'all are donating generously. Our bank account is doing well. Another thing we can look at is the number of baptisms. We've had 5 this year, at least that I recorded. Julie Brandon, Dallas White, Matthew Madden, Nico, and Benji Salas. So that's good. When we look at outside support that the congregation does here, you know, we're having an impact in the society, but we can do more than that collectively. As we're giving, we can do more. And so we support Epa Sandoval down in Mexico. We support Daryl Yamel in China, does a tremendous work. We have started supporting Barry Kircheville, and we're about to give Todd McAdams some support. Those guys are really working hard. When I look at people like Kircheville and Yamel, those are like 5 talent guys. They're older. They've been doing it a longer time, and those guys really work hard. Todd's a young guy that we want to help. He's just really at the beginning of his preaching, and Epa does a good job in Mexico. One of the things we could look at, and that I think is scriptural to look at, is what sort of report we have from other Christians. We see that in the Roman church. They had a faith that was known throughout the world. What kind of report does Parkway have? Over the years, you know, I talk to people and see what attracted them to Parkway. We had a young man a while back named Brandon Hearn. And Brandon, here's what he told me. He said, you know, he goes, this place, I've never seen another one like it. When I first came here, y'all treated me like I was family. And he didn't have a good, strong family. And so he really appreciated that. Don Mosley told me one thing that attracted him was the elders. He liked the way the elders did announcements, made people comfortable. He said that was very attractive to him. Anand and his family from India, who moves around the country quite a bit, he told me that Parkway was the best church that he had ever attended, either in India or in the United States. Rob Christie has said the exact same thing to me, best church he's ever been associated with. I've had members say that the reason that they come to Parkway and is that we have the best singing among Churches of Christ in Corpus Christi. I've had members and parents of members tell me that Parkway is the friendliest congregation they've ever been to. My son-in-law, Clark, who was raised up, his parents moved around a lot, attended a lot of different kinds of church. When they were moving down to Corpus Christi, he was worried about how they moved down here. And my daughter, who really doesn't worry about anything, said, "Don't worry, the church will help us." He goes, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Members of the church will help us load up, and they'll help us unpack." They had three or four members from Bel Air that helped them load up. But when they came to Corpus, they had about 10 members that helped, including two families that helped them unpack and set things up. Let me tell you, he's really impressed by that. He's also impressed, he said, had one of the members here, John Haig, who helped him fix his bike. Got another member, Glenn Madden, invited him to go fishing. He said, "I like being a member of a church in a small town." I go, "Hold on. Corpus is a small town." Well, compared to Houston, it is. I've lived in a small town. I lived in Mahia, Texas. But for Clark, it's a smaller town. Gospel preachers who come and give meetings here tell me that they're encouraged by the fact that the members at Parkway like to stay after services and talk and visit with each other. Sometimes they say they go to churches where as soon as that closing prayer is said, boom, everybody's out the door. He said it's a mark of a healthy congregation where the members want to be with each other. I was talking to Eric Peterson, called me, a member here a while back. He said he's going to retire. He's got a government job. He's going to retire in about 8 years. And he goes, "They're thinking about coming back to Corpus Christi, to Parkway. They love the congregation here. They made a lot of good friends here." Dr. Paul Wu, who works the emergency and attends the Chinese church, he's a friend of mine. We correspond back and forth. He loves Parkway Church of Christ, and he forwards me letters that he sends to the elders of this Chinese church, which is Baptist affiliated, and he sent me a letter that he'd written that said, "Churches of Christ, and Parkway Church of Christ in particular, are better Bible students than any other congregation he's been attendance with." That's good, to hear a good report. That's a sign of a healthy congregation when you get those sort of reports. And so things are pointing up. Things look good. Well, how do people hear about us? How do people know to come assemble here? We have a lot of former members who send people here. We had this... get his name. What's that young ROTC student? Noah Gray. He was attending another Church of Christ in town. But he's from the Austin area. Jennifer and David Knuckles told him, "You need to attend at Parkway." And so when he came here, just like peas and carrots, you know, he loved the congregation here, wanted to be part of it. So that's one way. Our website is working for us. A lot of people hear about us via the internet. We used to have a big Yellow Page ad. Anyway, we don't anymore. I can't think of something to compare it to. But a lot of people hear about us on the internet. I have people tell us that they first research the congregation by looking at our Facebook page. And several people have told me that and say they see that it's a close-knit congregation and want to visit and see, experience it for themselves. So that's the sort of ways that people hear about us. We have a lot of activities going on. Another more evidence of the closeness of the congregation here. Giving holiday baskets to the older people. The Cargiles generously having people out to their ranch every single year. The men's breakfasts, the women's breakfasts, the things that go on at Arlie Cooksey's Park outside her house, and countless other things where the members are interacting with each other. That's important. That shows a light to the world. John chapter 17 says that the people will know that Jesus was sent from God by the oneness, by the unity of its members. So I think we're doing really well in that regards. But the true way, in my opinion, the number one way to know how a congregation is to ask yourself, how am I doing? Have I shown any improvement? And it's a question that we should ask ourselves periodically to assess our spiritual health, to assess how we're interacting within a congregation. How are we doing? Do I have some sin in my life that I haven't overcome yet? Am I working on that? Am I making any progress? Am I living an unselfish life? Am I thinking more about the needs of other people than about my own needs? How am I doing? Am I a servant or am I selfish? So that's the true, in my opinion, mark of of what kind of person or how the health of the congregation is doing. How the health of the individual members is directly correlates to the health of our assembled congregation. Question we need to all ask ourselves. So, in the new year, what do we want to do? Let me give you some recommendations. Make the most of everything that this congregation provides. Make the absolute most of it. Take advantage of everything that this congregation has provided. From its classes, from the fellowship, from anything we provide, make the most of that. The second thing would be to attend every single service that you can. I realize that people can't attend every service. I don't have a problem with that. There are people that live far out. There's elderly people. But if you can make the services, you ought to make every single service that you can. Sometimes you hear people say, give reasons why they don't attend. And they say, well, I don't really like the preaching. I don't like the classes. The services take too long. The people are hypocrites. People ignore me. It doesn't seem like I can fit in. So you hear all kinds of excuses. All those are self-serving excuses. All about I, what I don't like. Believe me, I don't feel necessarily encouraged by every single service that I come to. We had a preacher a long time ago, and he didn't last very long. But it was just, for me, sitting through those Bible classes, I just had a tough time with it. I came anyway. So the deal is that, and for me, speaking about myself, I come to every single service that I'm able to. Not necessarily, I may not necessarily be edified by that, but unselfish living is edifying and encouraging other people. So I'm here every single service that I can attend to get whatever I can out of it, but also to interact with the members, to lift the weary hands, to encourage people as they need to be encouraged. Because if I'm sitting at home on my couch, I'm not helping other people. I'm not serving the congregation, and I'm really not serving God either. Make the most of every service that you can attend. If you're called to serve in the congregation in one of the duties, waiting on the Lord's table or praying, prepare for that. Do the very best that you can. Don't forget about it. We've got a wonderful website now that reminds people via text messaging and via email if you've got a service. So prepare for those things. As we come together in a service like this, we want to leave encouraged and edified. So if you've got a prayer that you've got to lead, I'll tell you the way I prepare myself for a prayer is I like to read the scriptures first. I like a period of time where I can reflect. A lot of times when you open up the service with a prayer, it's like having cold water thrown in your face. And so I've been visiting and greeting, and somehow I've got to turn that off and lead a prayer. I always like when I lead the opening prayer, I like to read a scripture first. Get my mind right. Shut all that other stuff down. And so if you know and you're scheduled to lead a prayer, you do whatever you need to do to do the best that you can for the congregation, no matter what the activity is. If you're leading songs, prepare those songs, make sure they're pitched right so everybody can sing, and lead songs that encourage the congregation. Another thing that I would recommend that you do in the new year, if you're not already doing it, is take care of the people in this congregation that need to be taken care of. I think that starts with widows. Remember in the book of James, it says pure and undefiled religion is to visit or to take care of the orphans and the widows. We don't have any orphans here, but we got widows. We got people that are homebound. And so sacrifice your time and I'll have more to say about that in a few minutes, but sacrifice your time to help take care of some of those people who've lived their lives and are feeling the effects of age and bodies that are deteriorating and minds that aren't what they were. Take that sacrifice of time to encourage them, because I'll tell you this about that. it'll build you up, maybe more than it'll build them up. That's what the Lord wants of us. See who's missing in the congregation. We got 188 members in the directory. Everybody's not here all the time. They're all weak people. And so, you know, so how do you deal with that without being annoying? And I've started, people don't answer their phones anymore. I don't either, because I get so many junk phone calls. And so I'm texting more. And so if I see somebody that's been missing a long time, I'll text them. Here recently, I took a selfie of me with my big smiling face like this, and now somebody's missing, I just text them that picture. They know what that means. So you can do things to check on your members. So get involved with that. Because people who, that's the first sign of members who are eventually going to fall away is when they start missing. And that's a tool that you can use. Probably some other tools also. One of the big things is get involved in this congregation. Don't be the last one in and the first one out. Get involved in it. People who get involved in a congregation get the most out of it. You can ask anybody who's involved in this congregation, who's teaching or whatever activity they're doing. They really enjoy it. They love it. And the people who don't, usually, not always, but usually are not involved. If you haven't taught a class, you ought to. If you don't think you're qualified, sit in on those classes. When you sit in on a Bible class, and we've got some really terrific young kids here. There's three of them sitting right there that I'm related to. And you get to know them. You get to know their families. You become a part of things. If you're feeling like I'm not a part of things, do something about it. Make yourself part of things. And if you're not actively, don't feel like you can actively teach a class, sit in on those classes. It'd be encouraging to the teacher, encouraging to the students. Get involved. You'll get more out of that experience. Preparing this Lord's Supper. We've got a list up there. And there's different ways that you can prepare that. I got a lot of ideas that about that. But there's a lot of things that need to be done here. My advice to you in the new year is get involved. I think I've told this story before, but when I was a student at Texas A&M University, we spent 8 years there, 1973 to 1981. Wasn't because I failed a lot of classes or anything like that, but that's just for my degree, it's what I needed. But anyway, I was dissatisfied with how I was performing at Twin Cities Church of Christ. I knew I could do better. And so when we moved to Mahia, Texas, I told myself, no matter what anybody asks me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. I made that promise myself, that vow. Well, there's like a spy system in the Church of Christ or something like that. And maybe God put this on their hearts. I get up to Mahia, Texas, and they, a small church in Shiloh, and they said, do you mind teaching the adult auditorium class? Yes, I mind. But I said, okay. I go, I'm not very experienced. Never done it before. That's okay. You'll do fine. And so I did. Then we were up there for a year, and then we moved down here. And again, that spy system, I guess Elmer Moore, the preacher at the time, talked to one of those members up there, and they said, well, how active is Brother Perkins? And they said, well, he taught the adult class. And so they started asking me to do things that I couldn't say no to, because I promised myself I wouldn't. Make that promise to yourself. Then when I come to you, or David, or Gus, or Ricardo, and ask you to be involved in something, don't short-circuit your brain and hear it, and it automatically says no. Let it sit in that brain for a little bit and say yes or maybe. And try to get involved in this congregation. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for the congregation. You don't know what talents you have or how God might bless you because you just tried a little bit. If you don't know every member in this congregation, you ought to. You ought to know every one of them by name. And there's ways that you can do that. Julie didn't used to know everybody by name, but when she started doing the church directory and handling, the biggest thing for her was when she started passing out my emails, she learned everybody's name. If you position yourself at the back of that building and shake everybody's hand as they go out, you can learn everybody's name. You need to get to know every single person in this congregation. Go out to eat lunch. Do something to get to know them, to interact, because God has put you here to encourage, to edify, and to admonish so that we can become brighter lights so that individually and collectively we can shine the light of Jesus Christ in this world. That's your duty. That's your responsibility. You need to be involved in that. If you're one of those who's in regular attendance but not place membership, you should be thinking about placing membership. When you place membership and your name gets in that directory, a whole new world lights up for you. You can be more involved. You can expect to grow more. Because me and the other elders will be on you as much as we can. So you think seriously about placing membership. We need you. We can help you. You can help us. Get involved in that. I know this. I know I can do better. Everybody can do better. Well, I think we got a good thing going on here. It has been my life's work to build this congregation. I consider it that way. And when I give a lot of thought nowadays to how long am I going to live on this earth. My dad died when he was 62. I'm 63. I think all the time about how long am I going to live on this earth? How much time? Dad woke up one day and he had a cough and they said, "You got cancer." And he didn't last very long after that. Any one of us could get a bad diagnosis from a doctor and then really be motivated. What we need to do is do something ahead of time to motivate ourselves to do the very best that we can do. I know I can do better. And I'm planning on doing better. I could have a lot more to say about that, but I know I can do better. I know that y'all can do better. We've got a good thing going on here. Let's make it better. I was talking to our housekeeper on Friday. She only comes every other week. But they weren't quite done. I came in. I was talking to her. She sat down. I was talking to her. And one of the questions that eventually I'll work into a conversation is, where do you go to church? And she told me she was going to the Baptist church. Her husband died, and she married this older guy. He just died this past summer. He's a World War II vet. She's younger than him. And she's got this house cleaning service. She cleans a lot of houses. She's a worker. And she said that about 8 years ago that he said, "You know, I was raised in the Baptist church, and I want to go back." She said, "I'm Catholic." She goes, "But I take care of him. I take care of my husband." So she said she started going to the Baptist church with him. And when she got there, she told the preacher and everybody who cared to listen, she goes, "I'm Catholic. I'm not here to become a Baptist. I'm Catholic. I'm just here to help my husband." But she told me that as her husband's health declined and he's got sicker and they couldn't attend, that she saw something she'd never seen before. She said those members of that church and the preacher, they'd come visit her twice a week. And when he was sick, they'd come, they'd bring food. She said that when he died, that congregation was so supportive of him. And when she would miss services, they would call her and say, "We're not here to get onto you. I'm not calling to get onto you because you're not attending. I'm calling because I care about you. And I want to know how you're doing." She said, I said, "They didn't do that for you at the Catholic church you're attending?" She goes, "No." She goes, "You went there, you did these things, boom, you're out." So that may not be the characteristic of all of them, but that was her experience. Here's the deal for that. We probably would not agree doctrinally with either one of those churches. But what we can learn from them, and she didn't, now she identifies herself as a Baptist, and it's not because she studied doctrinally the differences between the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church. It's because of the care and the consideration and the genuine concern that they have for her. That's a powerful message. That's a bright light in the world. And if we can ever duplicate that and imitate that, and we can be really big on doctrine and fighting the doctrinal battles, and we should. But if we're doing that and neglecting the care and the helping for other people, then we're failing. We're getting an F. We got to have both those things. Got to be correct in the Bible and in the doctrines, But it also, where the rubber hits the road is where we're acting in the lives of other people, where we're shining a bright light in the world. And if you can imagine a dark world and every Christian is a light, and when they assemble on Sunday mornings or whenever we assemble, like in bright, focused light, all those members together, but as we scatter out into the world, and those lives are like emissaries, like soldiers going out into the world, trying to make a difference in people's other life. And it starts with love, and it starts with care for other people. Then we can clean up some of those doctrinal things. But first, it has to be seen in our example. In just a minute, Lucas is going to lead us in an invitation song. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you haven't had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you don't have any part of Jesus' life. You may be a good person. You may be doing all the sort of good things that you need to be doing. If you haven't first confessed Jesus Christ and had your sins washed away, you're wasting time. So it starts with that. During an invitation song like this, traditionally, if you want to start that, we've got a baptistry. Most of the time it's heated. And we can start that process with you. If somehow you want to make a public declaration that I haven't lived my life like I should have, but I'm going to start brand new. It's a new year and I'm going to start brand new. That's also something that you can do. Why don't we all stand and Lucas lead us, and either one of those options is available for you.